Father God in heaven, Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you that we can come around the table of God, Lord. Remember what our dear Savior Jesus did for us, Lord. He gave us all for us, Lord. Let us give us our all for him, O Lord God, each and every day. Father, I ask you to give our dear pastor, Lord, the wisdom and the knowledge he needs, Lord, to preach your word. Father, may we have the grace and knowledge, Lord, to accept it. Let us go forth from here, Lord, as soldiers of Christ, Lord, that we do your duty, Lord, and that we uplift your name each and every day, Lord. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.
Amen. All right, 164. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. It's understood, by the way, that when the Lord gave them the bread and the wine, it was symbols of his body and symbols of his blood. It was not literally his body or literally his blood. And that is not a scriptural doctrine we find in the Bible. And the whole purpose of these symbols was to remember Jesus and what he did for us. We pick up in verse number 26. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Verse number 27 begins to encourage and challenge those that are partaking of the Lord's table to do it in a worthy state, in a right manner. Verse number 27, he says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. We don't want to partake of the Lord's table if our hearts are not right with the Lord. What we want to do is we want to get our hearts right with the Lord and then partake of the Lord's table. In fact, he encourages that beginning in verse number 28. He said, but let a man examine himself. And by the way, in a few moments, as the gentleman will hand out the elements and Brother Jason will play, to me, that's the perfect time to examine yourself. In fact, I encourage people, don't examine yourself on your own. Ask the Lord to help you examine yourself. In fact, I think there's a great prayer in Psalm 139 where the psalmist says, search me, O God. Try me. Know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. And so it's a good thing just to say, Lord, is there something between me and you that I need to get right? As we just sang a moment ago, that precious blood is available to cleanse us from our sin. In verse number 29, he picks up, he says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. I don't believe that this word damnation has to do with becoming unsaved. In fact, the text is going to reveal itself that if a person who's saved and is not right with the Lord and allows sin in his life to willingly stay there and partakes of the Lord's table, he puts himself in a place of possible chastening from the Lord. In fact, we read on in verse number 30. It says, for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. You know, to me, coming to the Lord's table as the Lord's people is a very serious matter. We're talking about the death, the crucifixion, the shedding of the precious blood of Jesus. It was sin that nailed him to that cross. It was love that kept him there, no doubt about it. But the sin that nailed him there, we don't want to bring to this table. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us and washes us, that we can come clean before we partake of the Lord's table. We are encouraged to do so. Verse number 31. For if we would judge ourselves, you know, examine ourselves, judge ourselves in the sense of, yes, Lord, I shouldn't have did this or shouldn't have done that, shouldn't have said this, shouldn't have said that. Please forgive me. If we would judge ourselves, it says, we should not be judged. I thank the Lord that he gives us the opportunity to get things right before he has to do anything about it. In verse number 32, it says, but when we are judged, if we don't judge ourselves and the Lord judges, when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. And here's the reason we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. You see, the reason the Lord chastens us is because we're his children and we're not going to be condemned with the world. His dealings with the world are different than his dealings with us. He deals with you and I as with sons. Amen? And so we thank God for the opportunity we have to come to this table. As the gentlemen hand out the bread in a moment, please hold it. And as they come back, we'll have a word of prayer and we'll partake. But as I mentioned, as they hand out the elements, as the instrument plays, speak with the Lord to see if there's anything that needs to be taken care of so we can get clean before we partake of the Lord's table. I'm sorry, usually pray first. I'm sorry, I'm still not, this is I think my fourth time. I thought we prayed afterwards. We're going to pray before we hand out the element. Okay, Brother Chris, would you be so kind please to pray?
Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege to take your supper table to church. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the bread that's a symbol provided for Jesus, who was crucified for us. His hands were pierced for nails, Father. We just thank you, Lord, for his body. Father, we just thank you, Lord, all the grace that's all upon him, Lord. Help us always remember as we go through life, Lord. Help us, Lord, always look forward to your second coming. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I reiterate that Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians 11:23 that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." You may partake. continuing to read 1 Corinthians 11, verse number 25. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me, you may partake."
Thank you. I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw that same old crowd I knew before. When they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them. Son, oh, little boy, don't be afraid, 'cause you got a brand new daddy now. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the dad that I used to be. Try to tell it. Thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I am not the dad that I used to be. Try to tell him, son, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore.
Wonderful, amen. Calvary made the difference, right? Calvary will change a person from what they were. Calvary will keep a person from what they could have been. Amen. And thank the Lord for that. Not everybody has been saved out of wretchedness, but everybody that's been saved from it. Amen. And we thank God for it. Well, if you have a Bible, would you please turn to the text that we were doing for the Lord's table in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. This is about, I think, the fourth week that I'm preaching this message. Not the same message, it's different points, okay? And 4 weeks ago, we started going through this text. And I think this is week number four, maybe three. No, actually four. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we're talking about the Lord's table. And by way of reiteration, what we were talking about was the Lord's table, as we come to the text, provokes us to look in three different directions. It provokes us to look backward, which we note, if you would, in verse number 23 to 26. Let me read this again. For I've received of the Lord, Paul said. I'm so glad we got from Paul what the Lord had given him. Amen. He said, for I've received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. He said, the same night in which the Lord was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse number 26 kind of really focuses on why we have the Lord's table. He says, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. This text, the Lord's table, as we come to it, it causes us or provokes us to look backward. To look back at the cross of Christ. Amen. In fact, that's what that song was all about. And for a few weeks, I preached on the thought of when we do look back to the cross, we're reminded of the pardon of God. Amen. We are forgiven. As we look at that cross, we realize that on that cross, our sins were nailed to that cross. Amen. Jesus Christ took upon himself all of our sin. In fact, the Old Testament, the lambs that they would use for sacrifices would portray the lamb taking upon itself the sins of the nation. And when Jesus came, John the Baptist pointed to him and said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Amen. And so all our sin, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, not only did he take our sin upon himself, but the scripture says he became sin for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And so when we look back at the cross of Calvary, we are reminded of the pardon of God. We are forgiven because of Jesus Christ, amen, and what he did for us. Thank God, none of our sins will ever be held against us because Jesus already paid the price, amen. By the way, that's why I believe you can't lose your salvation. Jesus Christ died for my sin, paid for all my sin, and I can't lose my salvation, amen. Not only do we look back at the cross and remember the pardon of God, but we look back at the cross and we remember the power of God. You see, on the cross, by the power of God and through that cross, the devil was crushed. We're reminded of Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15, the first prediction that Jesus would be born, the seed of a woman, and he would bruise his heel, but he would crush the serpent's head. And we read in the scriptures how that on the cross, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Amen. On the cross of Calvary, Jesus Christ triumphed, if you will, Colossians 2, I think it's verse number 14. He triumphed, if you will, over the principalities and powers, over the devil. Amen. The cross of Calvary crushed the serpent's head, crushed the devil's head, overcame the devil, if you will. But not only did he overcome the devil, he set us free. Amen. When we see the power of the cross, we not only see the devil defeated, we see God's people delivered. Amen. In fact, we sing that simple song, Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Amen. He paid the price, the redemption price for you and I. Looking back at the cross, we are reminded of the pardon of God. We're reminded of the power of God. And we're also reminded of the promise of God. And that promise is this, that when Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, that he paid for our sins forever. He didn't just pay temporarily, he paid eternally, amen. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 12 said he obtained eternal redemption for us, amen. In fact, the salvation that he gives to us, we call it eternal life. Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. I'm so glad that we're saved and saved forever, amen. So this text in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it doesn't only remind us to look backward, but I want you to note this, if you would, please. In verse number 27 to 32, it provokes us to look upward. Upward. When we come to the Lord's table, the first thing it does, it says, remember the cross. Look back and remember the cross. And that's exactly what we did this morning. But this also provokes us to look up, to look upward. In verse number 27, if you will, of 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, the Bible says this, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now, where we said it this morning as we observed the Lord's table, but this right here is saying, hey, when you come to the Lord's table, make sure you come clean. Amen. It provokes us to look upward in this respect. Look at verse number 28. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. And it goes on to say about if a person doesn't take advantage of that and come clean, if you will, that he could be chastened of the Lord. How does the Lord's table provoke me to look up? When I examine myself and when I judge myself, I'm doing it with the Lord. Amen. In other words, I come to the table and I don't want to bring my sin to the table as a Christian. So what do? I look up. Why do I look up? Because Jesus, we mentioned it in Sunday school, Jesus ever lives for you and me. Amen? He ever lives to make intercession for us. In fact, I put this down here. It provokes us to look up to the cleansing of Christ. Amen? I'm so glad that when we're dirty, we can get clean because of the blood of Jesus Christ. In fact, I will say this, Jesus lives right now to keep us from sin. When you and I are tempted, we don't have to give in. We don't have to yield to temptation. We can call on the Lord and ask him to rescue us and deliver us and keep us. In fact, I believe that's what God's will is. 1 John chapter 2, verse number 1, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. God encourages us not to sin. Amen. But if any man sin, we have an advocate. That's a lawyer, by the way, and we have a Jewish lawyer who's never lost a case. Amen. He's an advocate. I'm so glad he's an advocate because we already got an adversary. Amen. But the fact of the matter is, you and I that are saved, when we come to the table, we need to look up, and if need be, we need to ask the Lord to cleanse us. Amen. And to forgive us. At first, he would rather keep us from sin, but if not, in 1 John 2, verse number 1, I just quoted, but verse number 2 says he is the propitiation. That's the satisfying payment for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. 1 John 1, 9, one of the favorite verses of every Christian, if not, it ought to be, amen? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, amen? So when we come to the Lord's table, the first thing it does, it reminds us to look backward to the cross of Christ. But as we come, we want to make sure we're coming clean. So if need be, we need to look upward to the cleansing of Christ. But then it provokes us to look at a third direction, and I want to focus on that this morning. And I want you to look with me, if you would, just one verse, verse number 26. As we come to the Lord's table, it took us backward, looking backward at the cross of Christ. It caused us to look upward to the cleansing of Christ. But in chapter number 11, verse number 26, it says this, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death. Last three words, till he come. This right here makes me look forward. Amen. You see, we look backward to the cross of Christ. We look upward to the cleansing of Christ, but we look forward to the coming of Christ. In fact, Brother Chris prayed in his prayers. He prayed before we partook of the matzah, if you will, to remind us of that body about the Lord's coming. Amen. And you and I, as we come to this text, it directs our attention backward to the cross of Christ. It directs our attention upward to the cleansing of Christ. But it also directs our attention forward. Look forward to the coming of Christ. And by the way, this is something that we should look forward to. Amen. In fact, let me just say this before I even move on to anything. I want you to do me a favor. Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 9. Hebrews, chapter number 9. There's a text that I want you to see that actually hits every direction we're talking about. Hebrews, chapter number 9. And And I want to read verses 24 to 28, or at least look within this text just for a moment. This talks about Jesus' appearings, not just his one appearing, but his appearings, plural. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. Look at verse number 26. It refers to Jesus as the fact that he appeared in the past. Verse number 26. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. See that verse there? It says he appeared. Jesus appeared to put away sin. By the way, that takes me to the cross right there. He appeared in the past to put away sin. He came to deal with sin's penalty. Amen? But look at verse number 24. It talks about another appearing. Verse number 24, it says, for Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands. In other words, he actually is in the holy of holies, in the real place made with hands. It says, which are the figures of the true, but in heaven itself, but into heaven itself, get this, now to appear in the presence of God for us. You see, verse number 26 takes us backward. It says he appeared to pay sin's penalty. That's the cross. And then verse number 24, it says he appears right now for you and I. Amen. By the way, we talked about the book of Hebrews in Sunday school this morning of the fact that he lives for us. Amen. But I want you to look at verse number 28 as well. Look at verse number 28. And this reminds us of even this last thought of looking forward. Verse number 28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. You get the appearings there? In this very text, it says Jesus appeared in the past to deal with our sin. He appears right now presently for us. He died for us. He lives for us. And then one day he'll appear the second time without sin, meaning this, not coming to deal with sin, with our sin. That was already dealt with. The next time he comes, there's a song that says, he won't have to die for me. Amen? The next time he comes, there won't be a Calvary. By the way, them that look for him, would he be looking for him? Amen? We need to be looking for him. In fact, looking forward, it provokes us to look to the coming of Christ. Let me talk about that just for a moment. The coming of Christ, get this, is something we should be looking for, anticipating, if you will. In fact, in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 13, it says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? And by the way, there's no difference between God and our Savior and Jesus Christ. Amen? One and the same. You and I, that's our great hope. We need to be looking forward to his coming, if you will. Amen? We need to be looking for it. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21, Paul the Apostle said that our citizenship, our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, amen, who shall change our vile body and so on. We look for the Savior. Looking for his coming is something that we should be doing. But not only should we be looking for his coming, might I say it this way as well, we should be longing for his coming. Longing for his coming. In fact, I just quoted Philippians 3:20 about our citizenship being in heaven. Paul saying that he was looking for the Savior. And verse number 21, here's one of the reasons why he was longing for his coming, not just looking for it. He said, he shall change our vile body, that it shall be changed like unto his glorious body. Amen. Paul obviously was waiting and longing to get out of that body that he had. Amen. Boy, I'll tell you, I would imagine he had a pretty tough situation. Paul the Apostle, think about that. Obviously, he had some physical ailments, most likely with his eyes. He was beaten and stoned and whipped and shipwrecked. Could you imagine all that he went through in his body? He was longing for the Lord to change that body. Amen. Here, the older you get, the more the longing is. Amen. Talking about waiting for new knees and new ankles and everything else. Amen. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 18 to 23 actually talks about that. Would you turn there for a moment, please? Romans chapter number 8. Looking for his coming is what we should be. But we should even take it a little further than that. And we should long for his coming. Amen. Romans chapter number 8, if you would, please. I'll tell you who longs for his coming, those that are uncomfortable in this life. That's who longs for it, amen? We got to be very, very careful that we don't get too comfortable in this world, amen? This world is not our home. We're just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. You remember the children of Israel were told, you know, in fact, I think I mentioned this before, but when the children of Israel were slaves in Egypt and God sent Moses to rescue them, they were ready to go. They were tired of where they were living, amen? It was a bad situation and a bad place for God's people. But when the children of Israel were taken into captivity to Babylon, they built houses, they got settled in, everything was really nice. And when the Cyrus the king said to the children of Israel, go ahead, you can go back to Jerusalem, you can go back to your land, you can build your temple and so on, not that many left, not that many went back. Why? It was too comfortable. Amen. God help us not to be so comfortable in this life that we don't long for the next. Amen. In Romans chapter number 8, and look at verse number 18. I want you to note, if you would, please, note what Paul said. He said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul the apostle obviously was a suffering saint, no doubt about it, living for God. Verse number 19 says this, for the earnest expectation, that's hope right there, the earnest hope of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse number 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Talk about Independence Day. There it is right there. It's one thing to be free from a tyrant nation, but it's another thing to be free from a sinful body. Amen. And that's what Paul was saying here. He's saying in our bodies, especially if you're living for God and you're going through struggle, in your body you get old and weak and weary, you even long more for his coming and for the change that it'll bring. Amen. Look with me, if you would, in verse number 22. For we know, and I'm so glad we know, and we don't have to guess, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together. And by the way, we can trace that right back to Genesis 3. Boy, that sin came into this world and that was it, amen? The thorns and thistles began, right? And we feel the effects of it today. Verse number 23. And not only they, not only creation, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we that are saved and have the Holy Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting. That word waiting has to do with longing, if you will. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Paul the apostle was saying here, listen, it's one thing to look for his coming, but we need to be longing for his coming. Amen. Oh, he's going to come and he's going to take these vile bodies, these human bodies, and he's going to change them and make them so much different. Amen. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he bears out the same thought. If you would, please turn with me there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Oh, we need to be looking for his coming. We need to be looking for his coming. We need to be looking for his coming, but we need to be longing for it too. It's one thing to look forward to somebody coming, but it's another thing to be longing for them to come. Amen? 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Just hit some key verses. Look at verse number 1. Here's that popular statement, for we know. It's a good thing that we can know these things. Amen? We don't have to wonder and guess. We can know because the scriptures say it. For we know that if our earthly house, our human bodies of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Verse number 2, for in this body we groan, doing what? Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. That's longing, if you will, for that new body. I want you to skip down. I think we're going to skip down. Let me see here. Now look at verse number 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. The older you get, the heavier the burdens. Amen. Not for that we would be unclothed. By the way, we're not longing to die. We're longing to live with a new body. Amen. But be clothed upon with mortality. That mortality might be swallowed up of life. Verse number 5. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who hath also given us the earnest of the Holy Spirit. Verse number 6 says, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're in the body, while we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Verse number 8, for we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. I want you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Looking for his coming, looking for his coming, looking for his coming. It's not the easiest thing to do on a daily basis. Amen. That's the truth, isn't it? But we really, 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 may God help us, amen, not to lose sight of his coming. Maybe even to get to that place in our Christian life where we want him to come, where we long for him to come. Because his coming means my going. And my going means everything's better. Amen? Everything's better. I want you to look with me, please. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. I believe that longing for his coming would be synonymous to what Paul said here in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Look at verse number 6. We'll get the context here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Look at verse number 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He said, I have fought a good fight. I wonder why he was ready. He was pretty much at the end of the fight there. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now look at verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only. Look at the next statement. But unto all them that, what? Love his appearing. I don't think you can divorce loving his appearing and longing for his appearing. Amen? We need to be looking for the Lord's coming. But we also need to be longing for the Lord's coming. And finally, we need to be living for the Lord's coming. I want you to turn with me to 1 John chapter number 3, please. 1 John chapter number 3. Would he be living for his coming? And by the way, if we ain't looking for it and longing for it, we're not going to be living for it. Amen? I think it's one thing leads to the other. Living for his coming, living for his coming. Something we should be doing on a daily basis. Look with me, if you would, 1 John chapter 3. Look at verse number 1 to 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Amen. We're children of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Verse number 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Look at verse number 3, because here's the kicker. Verse number 3 says this. We know we're his children, number 1. Verse number 1. And we know that he's going to appear, and when he appears, we're going to be like him. We're going to have glorified bodies. We're going to be like him. Verse number 3 says this. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. You know what that means? If you're saved, you have the hope that he's coming to deliver you and to change you. But if you're saved and you allow this truth to be working in your heart, what it's going to produce is holiness in our life. Amen? Holiness in our life. This hope of his coming is what ought to change us on a daily basis. Amen? I want you to look, we're in the neighborhood, look at chapter 2 chapter 2 of 1 John. Look at verse number 28. Here's the truth. And now, little children, abide in him. Now, what does he mean by abide in him? Here's what he means. Continue to live for the Lord. You remember John 15? You abide in me, my words abide in you, and you'll be fruitful, and you'll have answered prayer. Live for the Lord. And now, little children, abide in him. Now, get this. That when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be what? Ashamed before him at his coming.
When you lose the hope of His coming, when you lose when you stop looking for His coming, when you stop longing for His coming, you stop living for His coming. There was a story in the Bible, I think I'm going to say Matthew 25, I could be off on that one, where the Lord talked about the man who, because he said, "My Lord delays His coming," he went out and began to drink and he began to party and he began to mistreat the other servants and such. When you lose sight of His coming, you get yourself off into some wrong things, amen? Looking backward, I know that Jesus died for me. Looking upward, I know that Jesus lives for me. Looking forward, I know that Jesus is coming for me. Amen. In fact, I want you to, and I'm going to close with these thoughts. I'm not going to turn to the scriptures. I don't have a message on this yet, but I have a seed thought here about looking. We use terms like look to the Lord. Do you know what look to the Lord really is an essence of? Trusting. Look to the Lord. Trusting. And then we got to look for the Lord. Look for the Lord. That's hoping. Hoping. But one day, there will also be a looking on the Lord. Looking on the Lord. In fact, we're reminded in the book of Zechariah chapter 12 that the nation of Israel will look on Him whom they have pierced. And when they discover and discern that it was their fault, it says that they will mourn when they look on Him. You and I, we've looked to the Lord as our Savior. We need to look for the Lord, amen? With this in mind, one day we will look on the Lord, amen? In fact, did you remember that song we were talking about? You don't have that, do you? Do we don't have it in the hymn book because I wanted to share that. But there, Sam and I have it. We don't. You don't have your hymn books with you, right? Okay. There's a song that talks about by and by when I look on the Lord, I'll wish I had given Him more. Anybody ever familiar with that song? By and by when I look on His face, beautiful face, thorn shadowed face. By and by, when I look on His face, I'll wish I had given Him more, more, so much more, more of my love than I e'er gave before. By and by, when I look on His face, I'll wish I had given Him more. And it's a wonderful song. And maybe one day Brother Jason will be able to sing that for us. Because I believe he'll be able to sing that real well. Amen. But this thought in our minds, to think one day we're going to stand before the Lord and look on Him. What kind of Christians will we be, you know? May God help us and challenge us with this in mind. Let's pray. Father, thank You for the word this morning. Thank You for the Lord's table, that it provokes us to look backward to the cross of Christ and remember what You did for us. It provokes us to look upward to the cleansing of Christ, and that reminds us of what You do for us all the time. Thank You for rescuing us and delivering us many times before we sin, and thank You for cleansing us and forgiving us many times after we sin. But we're also provoked to look forward to Your coming, Lord. Sometimes, Lord, it's not that easy to keep that thought in mind and in heart all day long, every day, which it needs to be. I pray that Your word would provoke us to look for Your coming and to even take it further than that, maybe to long for Your coming. Lord, those that are in the greatest battles, I'm sure, are the ones that are longing the greatest for Your coming. Those whose bodies are getting broken and weakened and weary, even longing even more so. Father, help us to look for the coming of Jesus and help us to long for it. And even more than that, help us to live for it. Because one day we're going to stand before the One that saved us and kept us. And will we be ashamed then and there? Lord, I'm just not sure. Oh, help us, we pray. Father, as we get ready to depart from this place, Lord, we thank You for this 4th of July weekend, Lord, and the celebrations we have as a free nation. But thank you even more so for the celebrations that we can have as a free, spiritually free people. Help us to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free and not be entangled again with the yoke of religious bondage or even Satan's bondage. I do pray, dear Lord, as we leave this place, that you'll watch over everyone and help everybody get to their destination safely. And Father, bless every gathering, Lord. Keep everyone safe. Bless every barbecue as well. And Father, if there's anybody in this place that's not sure they're saved, I pray that before they leave, that they'll come up front and see me. We'd love to make sure they know that they're saved before they leave this place. And we'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day and a great week. Amen.